Welcome to Good Deeds. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me in studio today is an organizational leader in Pinellas County that I did not know about, but that everyone needs to know about. With me is Tanya Rubel Richter. She's the president and CEO of Everford. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's interesting what has happened. This is an organization that supports children with a brighter future, and it is taken over. It's a rebranding of Carlton Manor. So tell us a little bit about what the organization does and then the evolution of the organization.
Sure, thank you. So Carlton Manor had started out as one residential group home here in St. Pete. It actually was a branch off from Eckerd. And so back in, I think, 1980 is when we became our own independent agency. And from there, it has grown. We have three residential group homes. We had up to 20 licensed foster homes. And then we have community-based mental health services, too.
So this is a we know that mental health is an issue with our young people, but this is something completely different. This is compassionate trauma-informed services designed to help children, youth, and parents begin a path to healing and moving forward. And, you know, we don't say like to just say child abuse because there are so many different forms of this. So tell us a little bit about the services you provide to about 150 kids a year here in Pinellas County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, when people hear child abuse, I think everyone has a different lens on what that means. And for us, we really go a step beyond that and look at the trauma that the child has been through. Every child's path is different. And that's why we actually, in the rebrand, chose the name Ever Forward. So it's about every child has gone through so much before they get to us, and how can we help them build on their healing path? So I think we look at each child as an individual, and we look at how we can build strengths in order to help them build stronger trajectories.
You know, I want to share some of the statistics that your excellent website shared with me. Folks, did you know that there are, these are not even current numbers, but in the last couple of years, there are 22,800 child maltreatment victims. There is 7,500 plus number of Florida children waiting for adoption in the child welfare system. This is since 2023. 63% of those children have been victims of neglect. 64% of children in foster care have been in over 24 months, Tanya. Mm-hmm. And 25% of youth in foster care develop PTSD. So you talk about the kids often come to you carrying deep wounds, and alone no child can fully recover from the devastating effect of abuse and neglect. Let's talk about the services that you provide that help the children and the youth move ever forward.
Sure. So in our group homes, we actually serve at-risk youth, which means most of them have actually been in several placements that disrupted before they get to us. We have higher level need kids. So in our residential services, we provide therapists on site. We individualize therapeutic treatment. We also offer enrichments and to build strengths, such as, you know, arts classes, financial literacy, exposure to trades, anything that we can to really meet that child where they are. Then we have our community-based services, which is based out of our Palm Harbor office, and we serve mostly Pinellas County, but also Pasco and Hillsboro, and in that we actually do community-based therapy. So we see kids in homes, in schools, and we tailor therapeutic approaches toward their needs too. So looking at play therapy, music therapy, art therapy, things that are really going to reach kids and help them make a difference.
You know, I think what really speaks to me is that a lot of these kids come to you, they need the life support services, the cooking, the cleaning, the budgeting, the personal hygiene to build confidence and independence because they haven't had mentors or parents on site. And also the assistance with medical appointments and medication management. You must have a network of people that you use in this community and depend on. Tell us about that.
We do, I think, and that's growing. And that's part of what we're excited to talk about in the community, because even though we've been here for 45 years, a lot of people that aren't in this lane don't know who we are or what we do. So I've been with the organization 10 months now, and we've been spending a lot of time on actually getting out there and increasing awareness about what we do and how people can help, how we can partner with the community, because everything that we do affects the community as a whole. So we do partner with agencies who come in and do mentorships for kids, who offer the enrichments. We have some agencies that come in and take the kids to ball games, or, you know, they volunteer to bring them things on their birthdays to help celebrate them. We have a personal trainer here in St. Pete that comes in and works with the kids. So we partner with several agencies here.
You know, I know that you were with Alex Harris and his group and working with teens, and I want to just talk for a moment about your experience with music and art. and play as really a different window to come in. Talk a little bit about that, and then I want to talk about the equine horse therapy.
Yeah, it really is. I think when I came here, when I moved to St. Pete, actually I was so excited when I met Alex in that position, because my history is actually working in child abuse. And I thought, you know, how cool to go a little bit upstream and work with kids to build strengths before they actually hit the system, right? So that's what I did with Alex for a couple years. And I saw with his agency, prior to his agency, and again since his agency, that really the arts affect kids in a different way. We have kids, Arts Conservatory actually comes into our group homes, and we have music production, we've done dance with them, visual arts, and the kids light up. It helps us reach kids in ways that other services don't.
You know, you also do support groups for both supervised visitation and for parents, because you really touch the whole circle of dysfunction and try to deliver love and support. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so those are new services for us, actually. We're in the build process, and I am so excited about that, because the support group actually stemmed from a parent. We do supervised visits through DCF as well. And we had a parent who came to us and said that she felt the person supervising her visit on our staff was the first person who had actually been really nice to her and listened to her. And she kept wanting to talk to her. And we're like, well, we can't talk about your case. We can't do these things. You're here to visit your child. So it came from a lens of really understanding. And years ago, I did supervise visits. So I think working with parents in the trenches and seeing how much they're suffering and how much it can make a difference just for them to have an ear and feel supported, because the system is really built around the needs of the kid. So that's it. It's non-therapeutic. It really is a support lane. And then in the supervised visits, we do extensive training with our team so that they can help build that bond and that rapport with the parents, because these are kids who've been removed from their parents. So we help them. We help them with parenting skills in the classes. We help them know how to respond when their child's showing needs in the visits.
You know, there is a national crisis, an international crisis, but a national crisis still with both human trafficking, sexual abuse, and substance use. And some of it is fostered by social media. So how do you address social media and also these issues and help steer youth either have been involved with it or steer them out of it or away from it? So tell us a little bit about the steps you take at Ever Forward.
We actually have several kids that we work with in our homes in the community that have been trafficked. So it's a huge priority for us. We are required through the state because of our at-risk level. We do provide actually a human trafficking curriculum to our kids. So we do that. We also have we have a point system set up for them, actually, that helps them develop better decision-making skills to assess risk, to understand what safe relationships are, to understand things about their body and what love should look like versus maybe things they've been taught on what they think love looks like. So we're really digging into that, and that's going to be one of the community groups that we do for kids as well.
Wow. We want to check back in with you, and we want to share some of that in the future as well. You have a wonderful quote on your brochure from one of my favorite inspired people, Helen Keller. And it's, you say, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. So I want to know how it is that you have chosen a journey of being what Mr. Rogers would call a good neighbor and a helper bee.
Wow. I think it chose me. I think it's one of those things that, you know, when I was a kid, I went through some significant things when I was a child, and I always knew that I wanted to make a difference for kids who were hurting. And I think the path that took, I didn't know what that was going to be, and it just took the path for me. I've been placed in situations, you know, the universe moves us sometimes to places where we're supposed to be, and I truly think it's why I'm on this planet, aside from my own boys, of course. But it's really impactful, and I think the thing that's really cool, and that's why I chose this comment for the brochure, is because there's so much ugly in this world, and what our kids have been through is so ugly, but my gosh, we have success stories, and we see the good stuff, and we see them making breakthroughs, and, you know, I show up every day, we've got about 80 employees, and I show up, and I see these people in the trenches really digging in to help these kids, and it's such a beautiful thing. I'm absolutely, as Mr. Rogers says, I'm absolutely surrounded by the helpers. He says, look for the helpers.
Look for the helpers. And so how can people help? I mean, we, of course, you know, donations are always welcome, and the website, folks, by the way, is www.ever-forward.org. How can people help you and be involved in things other than just financial?
Yeah, several ways, actually. So again, increasing awareness. I think we really want people to understand the effects of child abuse and how it affects the community whether we respond or we don't, right? So I think that is a huge piece for us, is if people follow us. We have a new newsletter coming out. We have the new website. So I think increasing awareness about the needs that we have. So we absolutely need volunteers. We're building a new volunteer program. Board members. We're building a youth advisory commission. We're also building a professional advisory commission. So looking for ways in the community to build supports. We need mentors for kids. We need organizations maybe that want to donate experiences to kids, right? We bring in food trucks for them every month. Maybe there's an organization that wants to donate that. So there's a lot of things that people can do.
What is your advice to people that are listening, our younger people who are touched by this? I see this next generation, and particularly the ones right now, at both in high school and college, they're very big on giving back to the community and very community focused. What kinds of paths could they take to become involved in becoming a Mr. Rogers helper?
I think it's unlimited, right? I tell my own sons this too, as well as the kids I've worked with over the years, that they have to look for what drives them. You know, if everyone focuses on the thing that they're passionate about, there's a way that they can contribute in that lane. So for our kids, you know, and young people listening to this who are affected or maybe know someone who's affected, because that's everyone, right? It is really to understand that the statistics show that if we build strengths in kids, that it absolutely changes the outcomes. It changes the trajectories. You know, instead of looking at, you know, previous traditional behavior modification, it was control and compliance, right? That doesn't work, and it doesn't work anymore. So we really need people to understand, whether it's youth or adults, that if they build, you know, decision-making skills and start to believe in themselves and surround themselves with positive people, youth and adults, that it truly changes the outcomes. And we want kids to know they can do whatever they want to do. Like, they do not have to put themselves in boxes.
Tanya, you are the epitome of positivity power and sprinkling kindness like it's confetti. Before we go, I want to, you know, every one of us needs to be on high alert. So if you see something, say something. Tell us a little bit about the importance of not just turning a blind eye. Yeah, to child abuse.
Absolutely.
And sex trafficking.
Absolutely.
Human
all of it. It's absolutely everywhere, and I promise everyone comes in contact with it, whether they realize it or not. You can actually make a report just on our website. There's also an 800 number that I can give you to put on the site. So there's always a way that you can report that. The alarming piece is that on these numbers, as large as they are in Florida, which aren't as large as some other states I've been in, like Indiana and Ohio, but that's a very small drop in the bucket to the amount of abuse that's actually happening to kids. There's about 90% of them are the calls that go in and on allegations are screened out. So these are just, because it's very hard to prove, right? Most of it's happening when people aren't around. So these are literally just the cases that have been proven to some extent. So it's out there. And yeah, I think, you know, a caring adult can make all the difference in the world. And even a caring peer, you know, we really can change the way this turns out.
Folks, I encourage all of you to go to the Ever Forward website, sign up for the newsletter that's coming. It has been a pleasure, Tanya, to have you here. Tanya Rubel-Richter is the president and CEO of Ever Forward, the rebranding of Carlton Manor in Pinellas County, and truly showing us and amplifying the information that we need to know to help the children in the foster system who are troubled and abused. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you so much.